Merlin began to vault over the railing to the floor below, then paused. "Let's not do anything outright impossible in front of this many witnesses unless we really have to," he told himself. The little voice in his brain seemed preposterously calm to him, but it made sense, and he slid the still-smoking pistol in his right hand into its holster. Then he crouched, gripping the box railing in his right hand, and lowered himself over the edge. He let his fingers slide down a smooth, waxed upright until his feet were only 5 or 6 feet above the cathedral's marble floor, then let himself drop with cat-like grace. He landed on the seat of a pew which had magically cleared itself when its occupants saw him coming. They shrank back, staring at him, eyes huge as he descended out of the hovering cloud of powder smoke, and he nodded courteously back to them. "Excuse me," he said politely, and stepped out into the nave. The cathedral was filled with shouts of confusion, confusion that was tinged with gathering anger as people began to realize what had happened. But Merlin ignored the background bedlam as he made his way up the nave. His uniform would have been enough to clear a path for him under most circumstances. Under these circumstances, the pistol still in his left hand, one hammer still cocked while smoke still plumed from the fired barrel, was even more effective, and he reached Stainer's side quickly. The archbishop was down on one knee, ignoring the underpriest trying to urge him back to his feet as he turned the second of his assailants up on his side. As Merlin watched, Stainer felt the side of the fallen man's throat, obviously searching for a pulse. He didn't find one, of course, and he shook his head slowly, heavily, and reached up to close the corpse's staring, surprised-looking eyes. "Are you all right, Your Eminence?" Merlin demanded, and Stainer looked up at him with an expression of regret. "Yes." His voice was a little shaky. Merlin had never heard that particular note in it before, but under the circumstances, he supposed it was reasonable that even Michael Stainer's monumental calm should be just a bit frayed. The archbishop cleared his throat and nodded.
"Yes," he said more firmly. "I'm fine, Merlin, thanks to you."
"Then, unless you want a riot, I think you'd better stand back up and show yourself to the congregation before they decide you're dead, too," Merlin suggested as gently as he could through the steady, growing roar of angry, frightened, confused voices. "What?" Stainer gazed at him for a moment, obviously still more than a bit confused himself. Then his eyes cleared with understanding, and he nodded again, more crisply.
"You're right," he said, and stood.
"We have to get you someplace safe, Your Eminence," one of the under-priests said urgently.
Merlin found himself in strong agreement, but Stainer shook his head. The gesture was vigorous, purposeful.
"No," he said firmly.
"But Your Eminence..."
"No," he repeated, even more firmly. "I appreciate the thought, Father, but this..."
One hand waved at the cathedral and the ripples of fury spreading steadily outward as those closest to the attempted assassination shouted explanations to those farther away.
"Is where I need to be."
"But..."
"No,"
Stainer said a third time with a note of finality. Then he turned, pushed his way through the scepter-bearers and candle-bearers still standing in shocked immobility, and started back up the nave. The other members of the procession stared at one another, still too badly shaken and confused to know exactly what to do, but Merlin straightened his shoulders and started after the archbishop. His own thoughts were still only beginning to catch up with Stainer's, but as they did, he realized the archbishop was right. This was where he needed to be, in more than one way. Merlin carefully closed the priming pan and lowered the hammer on his remaining pistol's single, unfired barrel. He holstered the weapon without breaking stride and continued down the nave behind Stainer, watching the worshippers to either side narrowly. The odds of there being a second assassination team were undoubtedly slim, yet Merlin intended to take nothing else at least, he told himself grimly, for granted where Michael Stainer's safety was concerned.